Did you know there was a woman who ruled as a queen on American soil, and she was black? Welcome to the new moon in Aquarius, folks. This is Irliana Samsara, Star Sound Speaks. I'm so excited to share this information about this new moon, this woman from history. She's the subject of a novel that just got published right when Pluto went back into Aquarius. I'm going to tell you all about that. The features of this new moon and why we really want to pay attention to it and all the outrageous hope and possibility that it brings. My name's Irliana and I practice traditional or Hellenistic astrology blended with modern archetype, and I use whole sign houses. And yes, I am available for private consultations. Go to starsoundastrology.com if you want to know more information about that. Let's talk about this exciting new moon. This new moon is going to happen on Thursday, February 8th, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This moon is at 20 degrees. The sun and the moon are both lined up for a new moon. They are exactly at 20 degrees, 40 minutes of Aquarius. We'll talk about why this new moon goes beyond just this 30-day period. What are the unique features of this? What story is it telling? And then we're also going to talk about this historical novel. And maybe I'll throw in some other figures from history as well. We'll see. We're just going to kind of be in the flow of things. Expect the unexpected in Aquarius season, and certainly with Pluto, right? This is the first new moon with Pluto in Aquarius. That's already a big deal. Last year, when we had our new moon in Aquarius, Pluto was in the late degree of Capricorn. This year, this time around, this is the first one. So we're getting to see what it looks like with Pluto in the mix. So for the next 20 years, Pluto will be in Aquarius. Every time we have that new moon in Aquarius, Pluto's going to be present as part of that, a new moon or a full moon in Aquarius. You know, we're going to be seeing Pluto in the mix, just like we did for the last 15 years when Pluto was in Aquarius, and what that looked like, the breaking down of society, the breaking down of crystalline forms that were toxic and embedded deeply in our culture. And once we concretized, you know, this process of concretizing what's essential and what's worthy of keeping, and then bringing up to the surface the things that are dark and dysfunctional and that don't work in our society. Once we have sorted and transformed ourselves in that process, now Pluto's job is to roll over and say, okay, great. Now that we've handled that and we're very conscious of the past, what kind of future? What kind of beautiful visionary utopia do we want to create? Because it is available if we want to do that work. If we want to face our fears and move into that unknown, it is available. That's the first thing. In the bounds of Mars means you're playing by Mars's rules. And Mars is saying, hey, look, man, let's think serious, let's think long term, and let's be courageous about building foundations of a new reality, whether it's in our own life and our own self. And of course, where this new moon falls in your chart is where this new foundation is being laid. And so he's saying, look, there's courage required here. The ruler of this new moon is Saturn. Saturn is an aversion in Pisces, can't be seen, can't offer obvious support. The support that we're getting is really very intuitive, but it's about dissolving beliefs of how we should be, dissolving societal conditioning. So we're looking at all that and what it will take to make a commitment and to put in the work and the effort to create and achieve these things. 5 days later, Mars is going to conjunct Pluto. Oh, happy Valentine's Day, everyone. Not exactly a little tea party, walk in the park. That will definitely bring some very intense volcanic, you could say, volcanic cathartic realizations about what it means to be free. The courage to step out and maybe be ostracized in our community or among our friends. We're doing things differently. We're breaking from old known patterns. It can speak to how we can reinvent ourselves newly with that conjunction with Pluto. It's like my identity, my courage, and my passions can be aligned with a new paradigm that is free from the past. It's about being here now, and how we can reinvent ourselves by being present in the present moment, dropping the past, not like we're disrespecting it. We're saying, great, yes, it happened, and we're here now in this moment. Let's move forward. The other thing too that I want to mention before I move on is that it has a square. It's in a square with Uranus. Uranus in Taurus. Uranus is the modern ruler of Aquarius. Saturn is the traditional ruler. So we want to really incorporate both of those archetypes. So this whole idea about when I think about Uranus and the sign of Taurus, we're freeing ourselves from, say, old stuck value systems or things that are, where we were are possessed by our possessions. Like we don't own them, they own us. You know how that can be. Then there's no freedom, obviously, in that. And so this square with Uranus is really pushing us to look at what values. Now that we're creating a new society based upon our hopes, wishes, and dreams of how we want things to be, what is it that needs to go? And what kind of discomfort are we willing to go through in order to be free, especially as it regards our own self-worth? When we think about Taurus, self-worth, self-esteem, how we are in the world embodied, how do we embody this transformation? And I think too, with the when I think about personal possessions, it reminds me of this great quote from Lawrence Ferlinghetti. He hung out with Allen Ginsberg, and he was a beat poet activist. He started City Lights Books in San Francisco in the 60s. He was very famous, Kerouac, Ginsberg. He was actually arrested because he published Allen Ginsberg poem Howl, arrested for publishing obscenity. And there was this big trial about, free speech versus obscenity and all that. And anyway, he did emerge victorious, but he was very much a light of his day about breaking up the cozy 1950s mentality. He had a book of poetry, like Coney Island of the Mind. It's an anthology of poems. One of the poems in that book is called In Goya's Greatest Scenes, We Seem to See. He's referring to Francisco Goya, who was a great 19th century painter, whose paintings very much illustrated suffering, suffering of humanity that he portrayed in his oil paintings. And so Ferlinghetti is talking about describing suffering humanity. And Ferlinghetti concludes this poem with the recognition that, quote, suffering humanity today might be painted as average Americans drowning in materialism. So that's very much a Uranus and Taurus concept. We're trapped, we're traumatized because we're stuck in Taurus, right? The material realm, material wealth, goods, things. Like the what was that saying that the best things in life are not things is what Uranus and Taurus has been trying to tell us since May of 2018, right? Beautiful line of poetry here. He says, on a freeway, 50 lanes wide. A concrete continent spaced with bland billboards illustrating imbecile illusions of happiness. So that's one piece of it, right? That Uranus and Taurus in that square with this new moon in the sign of Aquarius. Let's be mindful of that because we need to be free and we need to look at these things openly and honestly. With regards to dropping these things that do hold us back, and what is true happiness? What is it based on? Is it based on material things, or is it based on Aquarius, an idea? What ideas about rebellion, rebelling from the past, walking away from it, not being a rebel for no cause, but truly wanting a better world? And what are we willing to give up in order to have that? And are we willing to face perhaps social isolation or being ostracized by our friends because we believed in something that is bigger and we are not going to be run by? Well, I think about that, the Gilgamesh story I told in the February Astro about this, the way to immortality is to align with divine will, something bigger and greater than us and our own egos and our own comfort zones. It's aligning with that is the gateway to transcend everything, to really to be free. All right, so that's Lawrence Ferlinghetti. Summer of Love, 1967. Lawrence was a big part of that, making that happen. That was also when Saturn was in Pisces, as it is now, and Chiron was in Aries, as it is now. So there's a lot of resonance with the summer of 67, summer of love, And 1968, you know, in Paris and the university students and the protests and all this big resurgence, right? This new energy coming on the planet. I also think about George Harrison and Ram Dass. Ram Dass wrote Be Here Now, and that was published when Chiron was in Aries. Counterculture Bible of the 60s, really. It opened up for most Westerners, you know, yoga, meditation, because he was Richard Alpert, the Harvard professor that dropped acid with Timothy Leary and went on a spiritual quest to India and met his guru, Neem Karoli Baba. And opened up this whole world to the West, you know, to the masses of yoga, pranayama, meditation, to be here now, right? To become, you know, enlightened. George Harrison, the quiet beetle, as they called him, he was so taken with that, and he actually wrote a song called Be Here Now. It's on the album, this, I can't remember the name of the album, but the other song, Give Me Love, Give Me Peace on Earth. And then in that song, it very much spoke to this. He was very conflicted because he really liked, he was the fame that he received through being a beetle. As he got a spiritual path, he was wrestling with this feeling of, you know, I don't want to be trapped by this success fame thing. And he really yearned for higher states of being and enlightenment. And so that these songs, Be Here Now and Give Me Love, we're all about that kind of liberation and the quest for immortality, something greater than himself, and getting off the wheel of reincarnation. And honestly, I think it really happened for George. There was a documentary that talked about his life on his deathbed. Just as he was passing, this enormous light filled the room, luminous or superluminous light, and George rode out on that light. Yeah, I think he got it. So anyway, let's talk about this African American woman who was a real queen. Like, being that we're talking about all things liberation and Aquarian energy and breaking from the past and being our true authentic selves. What am I talking about here? There's a novel that's just been published, and it's by a woman named Vanessa Miller. And it's a historical novel. So it's based on a true life character. Yes, it's a novel, but it's based on a woman named Luella Montgomery. And she was this real life American queen. Now, some people think the only queen and king that ever lived on American soil was in the Kingdom of Hawaii before the Americans came in and claimed it as their own and drove out King Kamehameha and Queen Liliuokalani in the 1880s, 1890s. And yes, that was true, and that, yes, they had a kingdom, and but I'm talking about here on the continental US American soil. There was this woman named Luella Montgomery and the Kingdom of the Happy Land. So this historical novel that Vanessa Miller wrote about is based on lots of research about this utopian community that started out of the emancipation of the slaves in the 1860s. And it lasted for about 40 years, almost to the 1900s, the last vestiges of it had disbanded. But what's really cool is that it was just a bunch of slaves that became free, and they started walking, and they walked from like something like Mississippi through Alabama into South Carolina to the border of where South Carolina and North Carolina in Hendersonville, North Carolina, in that area. And they started this little utopian community. They ended up being able to buy land. I mean, can you imagine the strength and the courage and the tenacity to be able to pull this off? They had just overcome this horrific experience of enslavement. And then they start, and they are able to buy a little piece of land from this Confederate widow, and she gave them a little plot of land, and they started to work for her and with her. But they were able to buy the land. They weren't just sharecroppers, and they raised things and grew things and sold things, and this went on for years and years and years. And this woman named Luella and her husband, well, she actually had one that died, and he was the king, King William, and she was Queen Luella. They just did, and then apparently he died, and then her brother-in-law, Robert, was there. So she ended up marrying the brother-in-law after her husband died. And they were King Robert and Queen Luella. But it wasn't a kingdom like the way we know, like Prince Charles and all this, you know, rank and caste and all this. It was everyone worked together. So this king and queen were weeding in the garden and planting their crops and selling them by the road. And they made the way they were able to fund themselves and keep this community going was by all for one, one for all. They all worked together. They sold crops to this along the road, this road where people would transport goods via roads to the ports in Charleston and all. Sadly, what is it that ended the community? It was actually Pluto and Aquarius technology. This is a theme that we're coming up against, obviously, with AI and such in this current iteration of Pluto and Aquarius. The railroad was invented, and then it just they had another route to use. So it was this economic change, but it was this happy, it was they called themselves Kingdom of the Happy Land. It's just fascinating. I was shocked when I read about this. A year-long journey it took to walk from the deep south to the Appalachian Mountains. And she, Luella, was the only known Black woman in US history to rule as queen in America. I just thought that was so cool. And but it was the most egalitarian kingdom that you can imagine. It was really a commune. Everyone worked together. The novel speaks to this ability to forgive, forgiveness. So it's not just you were enslaved and now you're a free person, but then there's all the tragedy and the trauma that's bound up with that horrific chapter of your life and of US history. And it's about being willing to forgive and let go of the past. And so this enabled them to purchase land and build an all for one, one for all community. It sustained itself for decades. Here's a woman who obviously had been enslaved, and she had no reason to love or be loved, considering the past, but there's this new world of possibilities. So the novel is really about this seemingly impossible path to forgiveness and how that is as difficult as the road to freedom. So it was not only that they were dealing with their newfound freedom, they also had to forgive. You think about it, it almost seems it's beyond recognition. Like how could you even wrap your mind around all that, and all the difficulties that Black people faced after they were freed? It was just a different set of difficulties. An author that's leaving a testimonial for her said, "When Luella decides it's her world, one that she will make her own in emancipation, the sky opens up and rains hope. This novel is a triumph." So this is the invitation for us with this new moon in Aquarius to decide or to choose, like, okay, this is my world. It lives in declaration. We're not waiting, an Aquarian energy is, you're not waiting around for some outside authority to validate you. We're not waiting to be validated. In the Aquarian archetype, there is no observer energy. It's participant. It's not observer. So she didn't sit there with her maybe imagined crown on her commune with King William overlooking her subject. She was out there pulling the weeds too. Like that's about as egalitarian as you get. I'm just really fascinated by that this actually really happened. And it gives me such hope because this is the utopia. The utopian communities, many of them have existed. If you study American history, there have been many utopian communities, very deep, with Sag Rising in the USA chart, we have a very deeply religious fabric of our country. First it was Christian and Puritans that came over, and then, of course, the plurality of many different faiths over the decades and centuries of bringing new avenues of expression. But we've always had that, and especially in the 19th century, there was a great spiritualism movement when Pluto and Neptune started in sextiling. Huge amount of spiritual communities, theosophy, Madame Blavatsky, spiritualism, theosophy, these idealistic communities, utopian communities. There's whole dissertations have been written about these things. So the American Queen was certainly not the first, but the fact of it, that it has been in true Pluto and Aquarius fashion, a commune that has been hidden until now, unearthed, right? Don't you just love that Pluto archetype? And so this is a this story of Queen Luella is here's an emancipated community that is determined to triumph, not only to survive, but to thrive. And so that's the invitation for us. How do we just not, we don't want to survive, we want to thrive, and we want to thrive in a new way that's based upon equality, that's based on everyone having a share. That's, you know, you can call yourself a king and queen, just go out there and just start, you know, pulling weeds and fertilizing and pick up that bag of whatever and go down to the market. And, you know, happiness is in pitching in and being there for one another. This book was actually reviewed on Good Morning America. I would love to buy the rights to this book. I mean, and make a movie. And I hope somebody does, because this needs to be on the big screen. I think it's just phenomenal. Here's another Aquarian thing. As they declared that they were going to find land and they were going to live free in a beautiful way like this with this community, and they walked and walked and walked, and as they did, they naturally attracted more people. And at one point, there were as many as 400 people living on this land. It reminds me of when Andrea Michel and the lunar eclipses last October and November, Andrea Michel Haeckel and I discussed the eclipses. And I believe it was in the solar eclipse one. She talked about don't go back to sleep. And she talked about this energy of, because the North Node is in Aries for these eclipses that we're experiencing now this year and next, that it's the bravery it takes to step out and to do something different, and the courage that it takes to leave behind this need for agreement, and that we may lose friends along the way. However, what we find is if we are willing to be in that unknown, we automatically attract others who have made that similar choice about living according to our own integrity and what feels right, even if others don't agree, South Node in Libra. And so we naturally, we don't have to look and, oh, where am I going to find people who are going to be like me? Just your declaration to the universe to say, this is it, I'm leaving, I need to do this, not in anger. Not in anger, just being choosing, right? Not killing off possibility, but just simply choosing and moving forward in that way. And what that means is that naturally, the universe will bring us like-minded people who are on that same path. So we all kind of just find each other. And that's what happened here with Luella. How they just naturally found more people that were willing to do this. And there were no squabbles, from what I understand. I've read several articles about this book and this the history of this, the Happy Land. And there weren't like power struggles, which often unfortunately plague many intentional communities that collapse, these utopian communities where there's ego and power struggles and such, because there's ego there, right? And so when you have that, yes, it's going to be set up for failure. But it didn't seem that way to me. Of all the things that I could share with you about this new moon in Aquarius, this is the one that just, I obviously, as you can see, set my heart on fire. Because I know, and deep in my heart, I know that we can live like this. We have the USA moon is at 27 degrees of Aquarius. So it's baked into our astrological chart for the United States that we are here to live in community. We are here to create a utopia. We are here to create heaven on earth. Think about Aquarian, right? Divine will. Divine will, our higher selves, the divine will versus the egoic being run by that. So, yes, it is possible. And now with Pluto in the mix, finally, right? After 248 years, it's back in Aquarius. Let's see how we do this time. Let's do that again. And we're this much smarter. We just want to make sure that AI and technology is the servant and not the master. Thank you. Yeah, we've kind of seen enough Frankenstein movies and heard enough scary headlines to know that yes, these are things that we have to be very, very careful of. And I think too, in closing, I would just say what comes to me now is In the Kabbalah, they talk about how technology can never get ahead of spirituality. And of course, this is the problem that we've been having, right? And when you think, when I was growing up, we had a phone with a cord. Remember those cords and they get tangled up and you dangle the phone and to un, you know, it's like, God, look how much has technology has changed. We had to stand next to a wall, and then they invented a long cord so you could drag your phone around the room, like, oh, wow, I'm free. I could move in and out of any room in the house. And now we have a little piece of metal in our hand, and we can be anywhere in the world. It just so much dramatic change with technology. But what about our spirituality? So is it keeping pace? And if it gets beyond, that's red flag. And that's what happened with Atlantis. The technology outpaced spiritual growth. This is the invitation for us right now with the moon, the USA moon, the collective at 27 Aquarius. Yes, Pluto won't be there for quite some time, almost 20 years, but he's in the room and he's demanding that we look at these things and look at what can happen, like the American Queen, when we do come together, and what kind of how we can reinvent ourselves from the inside out. So, all right, well, that's all for now. I hope you've enjoyed this talk. Please do like, share, subscribe. We're very grateful. And let me know what you think of all this and what your plans are for this new moon and what really speaks to you. We love to read everybody's response. So, yay. All right, everyone. Well, you take care. Have a great one. We'll talk to you soon. This is Irliana Samsara, Star Sound Speaks, starsoundastrology.com. Thank you all so much for listening. Namaste.